Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
We do that on Easter. And didn't you know that today is Easter? It's Orthodox Easter this week. Now, due to some quirk of ancient calendars, and although over the years we've gotten churches together to make agreements on all kinds of things, like whether we recognize each other's baptisms or share in communion or hire one another's ministers and priests, we have never, ever had a convocation of the churches to settle on one date for Easter. So again today, Christ is risen. And many of the Orthodox churches are tied together in language groups. Greek Orthodox, for example, Russian, Armenian, Ethiopian, and more. And I won't make you do all the languages today, but today, church family, let's learn one in Greek. I will say, Christos Anesti, which means Christ is risen, and you respond, Alethos Anesti, which means he is risen indeed. So, Christos Anesti, Alethos Anesti, Christos Anesti. Alleluia. Thank you. In the Gospel of Mark's longer ending, Jesus is said to say, "Go therefore into the world and preach the good news to all creation." And you might never have heard these words before. We really don't often read the longer ending of the book of Mark. It's actually unlikely to be original. It does have a lovely phrase in it, though. Preach the gospel to all creation. If you were reading along in a King James version, you'd find that it said, "Preach the good news to every creature," which is a poetic, if inexact, translation. No, it's very poetic, although probably not authentic. You'll notice brackets around this section in your pew Bibles. The ending of the book of Mark was basically added by scholars and scribes who were more or less scandalized by the fact that the book authentically ends saying, "They didn't say anything to anyone, for they were afraid." It's a cheerful ending, isn't it? But just because it's inauthentic does not mean it's not useful. And indeed, it is ancient. It wasn't written early enough to be said to have been part of the original writing of the book of Mark, but it is still ancient. It was there before the Bible was codified into a book. And original or not, it is useful. It is beautiful. Because here we have a very ancient image of Jesus telling the disciples to set aside their despair and disbelief and to go out into the world and preach the good news to all creation, to tell the gospel to every creature. And on a week containing Earth Day and Arbor Day, and not one but two Easters all together, we need to hear the message that calls up to get up and go share some good news with creation, not just in Greek and in English and Armenian and Russian and Ethiopian and Coptic, but also in the languages of all creation. Go preach the good news today in terms that can be understood across the lines of language. So today, church family, let's practice some other languages. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christos Anesti.
Alethos Anesti.
In wolf.
Howl.
Thank you. The idea of preaching the good news to all creation pairs with the reading from Romans as well. In this passage from Romans, Paul is writing about the implications of the resurrection. "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," Paul writes, "then he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you." And this new life, Paul writes, is experienced as freedom and as fulfillment. And not only we, but all of creation, and in the King James poetry, even the creatures, we all have this longing, this groaning with sighs too deep for words, as we long for freedom and fulfillment, which comes ultimately in the good news of Christ's resurrection. Have you ever heard a creature sigh in frustration and futility? And have you yourself, one of God's beloved creatures, have you ever sighed with those groans too deep for words? And have you ever rejoiced so gladly that words were not enough? I wonder if these sighs, these groans too deep for words, were what the early Christians thought when they heard these words, "Go and preach the gospel to all creation." I wonder if this is what St. Ambrose of Milan meant in the 4th century when he preached, "In the resurrection of Christ, the earth itself arose." I wonder if this is what we mean when we say, "Preach the gospel at all times, when necessary, using words." And I wonder if this is the mystery St. Francis knew when he wrote his famous canticle of praise that the choir sang today, calling brother, sun, and mother earth to sing praises, joining in with sister flower and brother tree. And I wonder what it could mean for you to preach the good news of Christ's resurrection to all creation. The Gospels are in agreement on this. Jesus did not come back from the dead to say, "I am risen, therefore believe these 5 essential things and build me a church and worship me." No. He came back from the dead and said, "I am risen, I am with you, and you have work to do. So go, proclaim the good news." Many branches of the church, in which I will include Presbyterians, have held too tightly to one part of Christian belief, which is the idea that Christ's rising from the dead proves our sins are forgiven. This is a helpful belief, and it's not wrong, but we can get tied up and limited in it. We could start thinking that the good news of Easter is a very internal and psychological thing, a personal experience that Christ rising from the dead meant we could feel better about ourselves, but it's so much more than that. And since today is Orthodox Easter, I'd like to hold up a belief that many Orthodox churches have held on to more vibrantly than we have. The idea that Christ rising from the dead is a cosmic victory of life over death itself. Easter is a celebration of the defeat of death. In the resurrection of Christ, according to John Chrysostom, a 4th century writer, our enemy death tried to swallow up humanity, but choked instead on God. It's not that the resurrection puts an end to our struggling and that groaning along with all creation, but the resurrection lets us know that ultimately love wins and life wins. The good swallows up the bad, and the bad cannot swallow up the good. Christ is risen, and life is triumphant over the power of death. Now, in seminary, I had a missiology professor who had very high standards and very odd teaching methods. Has anybody ever had a professor like that? He would not assign enormous amounts of reading, heavy reading, for homework. And then when we got to class, he would sit us in small groups and to discuss questions that seemed completely unrelated, tell one another about the dining room table in the home you grew up in. He always had a reason for why his lesson connected, but he was hard to follow and even harder to please. Now, he had a particular love for the liturgy of the Orthodox Church, and which is kept alive in an eccentric way at his church and Marcia Roy's church, St. Gregory of Nyssa in San Francisco. Anyway, we had our mission class over here in Berkeley, and many of our Presbyterian students would ride a school van back and forth from San Anselmo each week across the Richmond Bridge, and sometimes Dr. Wickery would ride with us and continue his teaching in the van, like it or not. We Presbyterians were sorely lacking in ancient prayers, according to him. And as we rode the van, he would fill our heads up with the resources we lacked. He did this by singing ancient Orthodox prayers very loudly and telling us to sing along. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and on those in the tombs bestowing life. Faster, he said. Christ is risen from the dead. As the van swayed its way across the Richmond Bridge, he kept telling us to sing faster, and he stomped on the floor of the van, and I couldn't stop laughing as I sang along, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death. Okay, this time in Greek, sing faster. Christos Anesti ek nekron. Jesus is risen, and death is trampled in these ancient Orthodox prayers. I don't know about you, but I like the idea of trampling death, and I think it's easy to understand. When we tried to explain our mother's chemotherapy to our nephew, age 4, he nodded sagely and he said, it's like a plant that you step on it and it dies. Trampling cancer is a language a 4-year-old can understand. So church family, today, let's proclaim the victory of life over death in the language of trampling. Would you trample with me? Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christos Anesti.
Christos Anesti.
Woof, woof.
Woof, woof.
There is a good place for silliness in the celebration of resurrection, whether you stomp or howl. It is joyful news, after all, even when Easter doesn't fall on April Fool's Day. But howling and barking aside, because to be honest, we're not actually very good at that, how do we proclaim the good news of resurrection to all creation? How do we communicate the victory of life over death in terms that a creature can understand? Romans says the essential struggle of creation is futility and decay. Futility meaning we can't do what we naturally want to do and need to do. We can't flourish as we're meant to. We're blocked. We're like the polar bear that now swims endlessly and cannot find an iceberg to rest on. The cure for this futility is our redemption and our freedom, God liberating us from that frustrated struggle. And in terms a creature can understand, that simply means having what they need to live life the way God intended. It's okay to struggle, of course. Struggling can be life-giving as you grow and learn, but when your struggle becomes futile, that's when the Holy Spirit groans with us in sighs too deep for words. Now, we know it's good, generally speaking, it's a kind and moral thing to do to care for creation. But seen in a deeper way, your acts of loving and caring can be a way to proclaim the victory of life over death to God's creation. For you, maybe it's planting native species and ensuring their growth, protecting habitats and cleaning polluted streams, taking a sick animal to the vet, or growing your own food, or buying from local farmers who care for the earth in a way a corporate agribusiness never really can. Divesting from fossil fuels to slow climate change, marching, striking, and agitating for the political will to stop heating and start cooling our planet. All of these are essentially ways that we proclaim we believe in the resurrection of creation itself. We will not be stopped by a little death or a little despair. As Wendell Berry writes in his excellent poem, Manifesto, the Mad Farmer Liberation Front, invest in the millennium. Plant sequoias. Say that your main crop is the forest that you did not plant, that you will not live to harvest. Say that the leaves are harvested when they have rotted into the mold. Call that profit. Prophesy such returns. Put your faith in the 2 inches of humus that will build under the trees every 1,000 years. This is a proclamation that can keep us going, That is resurrection in the land, the language of a forest, of a tree, of the insects who live in the soil. But one final question. It's all well and good to proclaim victory over death in a cosmic sense, but what do we do when a particular person dies? Or when a community of people are struck by tragedy, or even to talk of creation, what do we do when a whole species goes extinct? Does the victory of life in Christ's resurrection mean that we should stop mourning and cut off all our sad feelings and go straight to a celebration of life? You're welcome to do that if you like, but if I may speak from my professional experience, I do not recommend it. It is so important to grieve, to stop and reflect and hold a funeral and cry. Some of us walk around with backlogs of old grief because of the times we were handed a pack of tissues and told to stop crying. No, the groaning of creation is real, and please do mourn. But as you mourn, remind yourself that you do not mourn alone, and that you do not mourn disconnected. You are part of the web of life, which is ultimately bigger, stronger, and more final than death. Each individual death hurts, but these hurts do get healed by the power of life itself, which is the power of God. I have to give the last word to Wendell Berry. A few more words from the Mad Farmer Liberation Front. So, friends, every day, do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. Be like the fox who makes more tracks than necessary. Some in the wrong direction. Practice resurrection. Amen.